Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to Love Yourself Fiercely. Not only does today's guest have the most epic name, but she is vibrancy to the nines. Like, I just love her energy. Kelly McKinty is here. She is the CEO and founder of the Live Well with Kel brand. And I just love you, girl. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And right back to you, love your energy, your vibe, and of course, your name.
Yeah, we have a pretty epic name. So representing in the house today, all great. The Kellys. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share a little bit of your story around when you started to recognize that self-love was lacking and how you really came to develop that relationship with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So when did I realize self-love was lacking? You know, like in hindsight, it's been lacking for a long time. Long time, but mm-hmm. I think when I realized it, is also when I had like an aha shift, and it was when I took a long shower. And I know it sounds silly, but like it was in that moment where I truly realized like self-care is and love for oneself is so much more about the decision than the actual action.
Mm.
And so, you know, in taking this long shower, I just decided like, I'm going to let go of having my husband be with our kids. I know he's fine. I'm going to let go that this is taking any longer than 5 minutes. I'm going to like let myself do my hair and trust myself and trust that others are also being fully taken care of. So I think that like self-love kind of meter changes over time. And like in new motherhood stage, it really like took a dial back because there's a huge like identity shift. And so I would say that's actually like my most recent, most like come straight to mind thought about when I noticed that. And it was, it's so much about the decision versus the action.
I love that. That's such a, I couldn't agree with that more. You know, when I ask that question, usually we all have that moment where we decide that we can't keep going the way that we're going. And like you said, in hindsight, self-love has been lacking for so many of us for like all of our lives, right? It's never been a priority until we decide that it becomes a priority. So take us through that. Was it in a season of new motherhood?
It was, yes, it was a, well, so our son is 3 and our daughter is like 17 months. And so like this exact moment that I'm thinking of was probably about 6 months ago. So we already had passed into like, or maybe longer than that, probably like 8 months ago, but we've had it under our belts, I guess, like having our first child. And then our second one was approaching a year, and like kind of the light bulb moment for me was like, why is something that like so many people just do without thinking is causing me so much drama in my brain? Like that's ridiculous. And so I just decided to like shut out that noise and just like, just enjoy a shower.
I know it sounds so simple, but as a mom of 2 kids, I totally know what you mean, right? It's like lean into that self-trust that, they're not dying. Our husbands are fully capable and they aren't going to do it the way we do it, but that doesn't mean that it's not right.
Yes. And I think that that sentence too, like our husbands are capable. That's like, I think an area where I'm going with my coaching and just like life in general is just being done with the story that we all hear of like the martyr, like, oh, I do everything. And like, no, I'm done with that. We're done with that in our house. And it doesn't happen easily or come naturally. It really takes some like effort. But when it starts happening, it just becomes like easier and easier to like trust that I'm capable. He is capable. Like we are all capable. And too, when we kind of feed into that, like I'm the only one that has to do everything, then we become the only one that can do anything. Like we really truly take that away from our partners, from our people. And then that does train them to be that way. And so you've got to like, you know, teach people how to treat you by treating yourself that way too.
Absolutely. You know, I teach a lot about masculine and feminine energy in business, but it translates so beautifully and so naturally into our relationships as well. There's this, so everybody believes that mothering is a feminine energy. Mm. It is not. It is heavily a masculine energy because masculine is all about the doing. Mm-hmm. And what happens in relationship is when one person is heavily in masculine, in order to avoid toxicity, the other leans back to receive in feminine. So if we're living in our masculine energy and belief system around, I'm the only one who knows how to do this properly, guess what our husbands are doing? They're leaning back in their feminine and they're just receiving all the dinners and receiving the clean mm-hmm. socks and receiving the sleep-ins while we're up all night with the babies. Mm-hmm. And then we're angry and resentful. Mm-hmm. But the truth is we have to lean back in our feminine to allow them to rise because yeah. they're grown ass men. And they do know how to change a diaper and they do hear the babies. Do you know how I know they hear the babies? Because they hear the babies on Mother's Day. They hear the babies on right. birthdays. They hear the babies when we're gone.
Yep.
So they do. I was mm-hmm. thinking about that this morning. This is totally about me. I'm just going to sidebar because the listeners will get a kick. I was thinking about that this morning as I'm like, here we go again, another morning where I'm being woken up, right? In my house, it's like he's the night owl and I'm the mm-hmm. early riser. So one stir from the dog or one stir from the baby and I'm up. Yep. And he comes down. He's like, I didn't hear anything. And I was like, man, you hear them on Mother's Day.
Right.
You can get up with all the kids and all the responsibilities yeah. on Mother's Day to do the things or my birthday. That's mm-hmm. bullshit. That's a choice right there.
Yes. Yes. And so it's like they hear them when that's the only, when the alternative to not hear them isn't an option.
Right. So it does, you are capable.
Right. Yes. And so yeah. how do we create that more for mm-hmm. ourselves? Mm-hmm. Having my own aha moment here too.
Right. And it's so true. And it's like, you know, the truth is we just do, we carry so much of the emotional labor and so much of the emotional, and mental labor of our families that often it is so much easier for us to just do the thing, right? Right. It's easier for me to just go and make sure that the pizza day money is at the school and the registration for gymnastics is on time. And that I know that the daycare needs, you know, diapers come Friday and setting up. It's easier for me because I don't really need to talk about it 42 times to get it done. But then I have no right to then complain that I am emotionally drained. I'm physically drained. I'm unsupported. I created that. But the changing the narrative, the family dynamic, which is what you're talking about, also takes work, right? It takes us shutting our mouth, sitting back and allowing the dishes to be put in the dishwasher the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they still get clean.
Yes. Exactly. This makes me think of, I was just having a conversation with someone about a month or so ago and just talking about where she was sharing how she's like, I wish my husband would like cook dinner once in a while. She's like, I mean, he offers, but like, then we would just eat junk food. And she was also complaining about like just wanting a night off, wanting a meal off, not wanting to do that for just like, give me a break for a day.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of asked her, I'm like, well, what if the kids do have like, you know, pizza or Subway or whatever one night, like, aren't you still getting what you want? Like mm-hmm. you're getting the night off of cooking. And so like you said too, like that it's easier if I just do it because when you do it your way and your way is air quoting. The right way.
Yeah.
But then we're taking away what we actually want from ourselves mm-hmm. by being the controller and doing it the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you nailed it on the head, right? It's like we want equality in our homes. We want to share the responsibility of parenthood, of, you know, the running of the household altogether. Mm-hmm. We want that. And yeah. yet we're not willing to relinquish control. And I would love to hear your thoughts on why that is. Like, what do you believe keeps women feeling the need to be in control?
That is such a good question. I think in like my own personal example, like it almost like protects in a way of like, then I'm the only one to blame. Like to not, I'm trying to think of like a more specific example. Like say if we were with our kids and they got hurt, like, well then that's okay. I was there. I know it happened. It's okay. But if they're at like daycare or something and they get hurt, you're like, what was going on? They're so irresponsible. Why aren't they watching? Like just for, I think that's it for me is like almost the, that part of like, well, then I can blame or like beat myself up about it versus like being mad at someone else.
I have a couple of theories. One, I think that women feel the need to be in control, right? Mm-hmm. And underlying the need to be in control is the need to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And when we give up our safety of motherhood or we give up our safety of structure and routine, then we're unsafe. We don't feel safe to be held. And that comes often for many of us from, you know, our childhood or different traumas that have occurred. But it's interesting how when we can see it that way, like when I say I need a night off and my husband doesn't start cooking dinner until 5:15 and the kids are supposed to eat at 5:30, what is that actually triggering in me? They're not going to die if they eat at 6 instead of 5:30. Right. They might be hangry bears and that becomes his problem, right? So logically, there's nothing to fear, but our internal thing is like, they need structure. They need routine. That's what kids need. They thrive on that. Wait a second, do they thrive on that or do you thrive on that? Yes. And without that, are you feeling unsafe? Is it triggering trauma in you that makes you feel unsafe? Right. And being in control means that, like motherhood, for example, if we can control everything, then nobody can parent our babies better than we can. Nobody can meet their needs better than we can, which again is triggering this feeling of unworthiness and unsafe.
And not enoughness. And yes. So, okay. Thank you for sharing that because it makes me think of just like a couple of weeks ago, I was in a small group setting and I was being led with several other gals through this coaching kind of experience. And the coach that was leading it just shared her own revelation that she had had. And she said, I found a lot more freedom in my life when I realized I could stop playing God. And like that for me, like sparked something where I was like, oh my gosh, when we are trying to control, when we're trying to like manipulate situations, we're trying to play God. We're trying to think we are the reason things go the way that they are. And we are the ones who like, we are what orchestrates what will happen.
Yeah.
And that to me was like the hugest weight off of my shoulders of like, oh my gosh, I don't have to know every answer. Maybe my way is one of the many right ways. Mm-hmm. Maybe my way is only my right way for me. Like you said, it works for me. And like your husband cooking dinner and, you know, being on his own time schedule, that's his way.
Right. And no one's going to die.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah.
What that is so important in as women to recognize that our way isn't the only right way. Mm-hmm. It's the way it's the right way for us to make us feel safe and secure in our environment. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
And when we
become so attached to our way, we get so unbelievably triggered by anybody else's way. Mm-hmm. That is what I found going back to motherhood. That's what I found in like early motherhood with our second, when she was just like a couple months old. And I'm sure it was like the postpartum hormones and things, but man, did I get freaking annoyed by so much that like, I was like, what? I cannot continue on like this. Like, people are helping, taking care of our kids. And I'm just like, so annoyed. And I remembered, I went to a coaching session and I shared this. She's like, and she said exactly what you said. She's like, what if there isn't just one right way? And I was like, no kidding.
Huh?
I thought of that before.
I mean, it feels really good when people do it my way.
Right. Yes.
True.
Right. And then within that control, even when they do it your way, there's still not something right about it. There's still that like, but they did it wrong still.
Yeah.
So it's letting go. And it's such a process and a practice to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you, so I want to speak to that because it is a process, and I'll share a couple of like, in hindsight, they're really stupid things. But I needed to control my environment so much that, you know, I wouldn't let them help me with laundry because, so my daughter's 10, so she can help with quite a few things now, but I wouldn't let my husband, I wouldn't let my daughter help me with laundry because they folded the wrong way. I wouldn't let them load the dishwasher because they put the dishes in the wrong way. And it would literally, my insides would vibrate. Like I was not safe in my life. And in hindsight, it's so dumb. But I find even now, so now I'm like, I don't care, man. I don't care if you fold your pants or throw them in the drawer, just put them away. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I find now if I'm in a really busy season of work and I'm stretching and I'm stressed or I am being triggered in my own evolution or my home life is really unstructured just to like a busy season, I still get highly triggered by those things. And so I have a rule. Like I do not enter the kitchen after dinner. I do most of the cooking in my house, just the way our schedules are, but I do not step foot in that kitchen after dinner because I don't care if you don't rinse the pots enough before you put them in the dishwasher. I don't care if half the plates are pointing left and half the plates are pointing right. If you turn the damn thing on and put the soap in and they're clean, you helped me. I can't cry that I don't get any help and then micromanage and make people feel like crap because they didn't do it my way.
Yes, exactly. And that I've noticed as I've been letting go, like sometimes my husband will like say something micromanagey to me and, oh, it bugs me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I was that way to you all the time.
But do you find that like, as you're stretching or things are out of, let's say out of structure, right? Cause I think that's a huge trigger for women when they feel out of control of their schedule or their environment, or things are just like super busy. Do you find that those pieces that you used to highly control, you'll get like that internal urge to control again?
You know, I think it's still there. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing some deep work on this too. So, like I've been really working on like shedding that, but it comes in like in different times. Like I get triggered by different things, and yes, it is still there. But I think what's different about it now is like, I'm learning to like pause and like pay attention. And actually with you talking about triggers, I've been keeping for like the last while, like a trigger notebook, like almost like think like something that just like irks me or like triggers me, but it could be something like exactly what you said, like, you moron, why would you put the pans in the dishwasher this way? Yeah. Like, whoa,
I know. And then when we can
so triggered by that, and I would write it down. And I would just like kind of sit there, like not in the moment typically, but like at the end of the day, I'd like think about like what really like set me off and like didn't need to today. And it'd be things like that. And I just write it down and really think about like why.
Yeah.
And asking like why, shifting from like, why is everyone doing this to me, to like, how is this happening for me?
Right. And even like, just questioning, like, what is it about that thing that really set me off? And I, you know, I believe it's never about that thing. It's always about the deflection of a feeling that we're trying to not feel in the moment, whether that's stress, overwhelm, feeling not enough, you know, the good old woman thing that we do where we replay the same scenario where we tripped on our words or we made a mistake or we said something wrong, and it just like replays over in our mind over and over and over, and you're like in the moment of feeling stupid or embarrassed, and instead of letting yourself just be in that emotion and say, let's work through this. Right. We say things like, you're a moron for putting right. that in the wrong way.
Right.
And yeah. could you imagine if our husbands talked to us like, oh my gosh, no, they would all be dead.
That's not allowed. Right.
They would all be dead.
Yes. Right.
So, you know, I think it's, I really didn't think our conversation was going to go here today.
I didn't either.
But I believe it's really valuable for the women listening and the women mm-hmm. watching, because we all do this, and to really take radical self-responsibility to say, we can't cry that we're not getting help.
Yes.
And make people feel really bad about who they are and how they help us
yes.
at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so let's take responsibility for that and choose the pieces of our life we're willing to relinquish control over. For me, it's the damn dishwasher, because I don't care. And right. it's the laundry, because I don't really care. I care how my clothes are folded in my drawers.
Right.
But I really don't care if my 10-year-old never folds her pants ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One day she'll be 25 and she'll care how her pants are folded, right? Like in real life, it's so important, I think, that we normalize these seasons of growth and stretching ourselves to move past some of those old patterns while simultaneously having self-compassion and self-forgiveness along the mm-hmm. way.
Right. And like how that's creating sufficiency for them moving forward, like your mm-hmm. daughter. She yeah. can learn and teach herself, or you can teach her if she wants to, like how to fold her pants, how yeah. she wants to organize her clothes, and like really like let them have like that control over how they want to do those things, that at the end of the day, like they're not gonna really make a huge difference to you personally. You know, right. it's just the way that they do things. And I think of that too, like within coaching, like my job, and I'm sure you see your job too, as a coach, is to like really help create sufficiency with your clients. Not that they coach with you forever and ever and ever, but mm-hmm. that they can do their business or do their thing, do their life the way that they want to. And you're able to like create that for them.
Absolutely. Right. This whole journey yeah. and the space that we hold as coaches and mentors is not about replicating ourselves in the world. It's yeah. about creating a safe environment for a woman to come to her own self-discovery, mm-hmm. for a woman to come to her own desire of how she wants to live in this world. That's my job. My job is to help co-facilitate a safe space for a woman to rise in her own beautiful way.
Yes. And like, I'm having like a huge light bulb moment from you saying that, because so many times in like talking with clients, or people in general, I'll be like, so you say you want this, but you're doing this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have the same mission as coaching. Like I say to women, you be more you, like you do, like your way is okay. Like we all are our own like snowflakes and butterflies and beautiful, unique beings. Mm-hmm. But yet then here I am in my own home, in my own life, like controlling and trying to have people morph into like my way.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm just having like my own like breakthrough coaching moment for myself of like, mm-hmm. take a look in the mirror. If you're really wanting to help people be their own selves, help them be their own selves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, I would also go as far as to ask you, where did you learn that behavior from?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And that, okay. That is something that like I'm huge on too, is like, you are responsible for the legacy.
Yeah.
Like you are here today where you are as a human because of the legacy you were brought into and the choices of that current legacy, like yeah. what you've chosen. Whether you like really know it or not, like you've chosen what parts of that legacy you want to keep and what parts of that legacy you want to shed. Mm-hmm. And like, when you have awareness around that and know that, like you continue to then morph or respect even that legacy and be more conscious of like the legacy you're passing on to other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like it's so, you know, I think women in particular who had really great upbringings and really great relationships with their mothers really struggle with this piece, right? They really struggle to detach themselves from their mothers without feeling as though their mothers were at fault somehow, right? And it's not about fault. I say this all the time, whether your mom was a narcissist and you guys had a terrible relationship, whether there was very clear trauma in your childhood, or whether you had an exceptional relationship, the truth is we are connected generationally, and we are a combination of nature and nurture. And so when we navigate motherhood for the first time, or we navigate cohabitation with a partner for the first time, the only example we have is the example we were raised in. And so we start to recreate these mothering patterns. And it's really important to highlight that the expectation of a mother in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s to now was, it was expected that your worth was tied into what kind of mother and what kind of wife you were, period. That's just generationally, they were, women were so hyper-focused on being great moms and great wives because they believed that was all they were. And so now here we are in the 21st century trying to navigate, not only are we wives and mothers and business owners or corporate women, we are trying to do two completely full-time jobs and somehow make them work without feeling resentment and without feeling less than, and without comparing ourselves to other people and other moms and other this and other that. And so when we are able to see it clearly, like, my mom's house was always clean and I can't keep up, and so I'm clearly not a great mom, this is just an excuse, or I'm really struggling, maybe I'm not enough, maybe there's something wrong. Did your mom work, or was that her self-appointed job? Was that a really important value of hers? And you couldn't really care less if your house is cluttered.
Yes. Yes. And I would add that question of like, and what was like the energy? Like, something I've just been going through recently is like, I love celebrating our kids with birthday parties and baptism. And, you know, we just had our daughter baptized and our son turned 3 in August. So we've had those things. And, like, I decided for our son's birthday, you know, all I'm really doing is making a cake and like making it look cool and fun, because I really enjoy making the cake, and I vacuumed and cleaned the bathrooms, because I think so much like what I want for him and our kids is that, like, to remember their birthday party or those things as like a fun experience. And with that experience is the energy. And when I'm like pulling out my hair, trying to keep the house super clean and organized, like, that's a memory that they're going to have as well. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my mom turned into a maniac whenever we had people over. And like, yeah, I don't want that. And I'm not saying that's what my mom did either, but I'm saying like, I don't want that for my kids. And so we're just like chilling out a little bit with that. And also with that too, like, when I'm less of a maniac, my husband has stepped up a lot and like just helped clean up some things too. And so it's really been like this nice, like, kind of evening out.
Yeah. Harmonic balance of the energies, because it's interesting that you say, when I'm less of a maniac, he's more apt to step up. Here's why, because you're not, and not you, Kelly, but women in general. No, but it's true. But it's women in general, right? We're stressed out. People are coming. And we're like, you didn't even get the ice, and you didn't have to plan any of this. You weren't thinking. And what are you doing? You're not helping. That's how we speak to them, because we're frustrated and overwhelmed and more concerned about what people are going to think than we are about creating an experience for our children.
Yeah. And even like, that too, like, what is that about? Is that experience for our children? Is that about us too?
There it is, right? Mm-hmm. There's the underlying self-responsibility around what we're making things and events, and what are we making it mean about us? And I loved that you said that about, you know, the energy of, okay, so if our moms were crazy maniacs and you couldn't sit in the front living room and you could never eat on the couch and the house had to be immaculate, and you're like, and you said, what was the energy behind that? That is the most expansive question as we navigate who we are as women and as mothers, right? it might have the most incredible respect for your mother and the life that she had, but what was the energy as a child that you felt when she was so focused on what our home looked like or how things looked and versus how things were?
Right. Yes. And I think too, part of that is like, am I okay to just show up as me, or do I have to show up as the polished me? Except polished me takes a lot of work. I just want to be me.
Right. And the truth is like, it's exhausting. It takes a lot of work. It elevates our blood pressure. It gets us stressed out. Anything that goes wrong sets us off and it's deemed a failure, right? Or something was off the rails. And at the end of the experience, you didn't even enjoy yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And so being ourselves and being like, so I also have adapted this, like, if people are coming over for a birthday party, I'll run the vacuum really quick and I'll clean the bathrooms. But let me tell you, I'm not cleaning my house because those people are gonna walk through my house with shoes on and they're, you know, it's a party. And then I'm pissed that I spent all day cleaning and now I got to clean it again. I don't do it either.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, where can we release this invisible expectation that we've put on ourselves or that, you know, society has, we've somehow adapted from society on like what constitutes a good mother and a good wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
What a great combo. Where do we go?
Yeah.
I would love for you to share the work that you do in this world and the magic that you create with your clients.
Yeah, I'd love to share that. And I actually want to share, if I can, like an example to kind of going off of this conversation and the work that I do with clients and talking about like that legacy aspect too. So I work with creative entrepreneurs and business leaders and more predominantly moms, women, and mothers that are a lot of times like going through transition, going through change. And like, as a collective, aren't we all like going through changes and transitions with the whole past year plus on top of our own personal like transitions and changes? And so what I help clients do is really help them like own who they are, their message, help. And when you can do that, like you can be really excited to market yourself and market your business when you are like, this is me, this is who I help, this is what I love. And you are like so sure of that. And you have your back so strongly and fiercely that like you can't be held back, that you are going to, like, if you're watching this on video, you're going to paint your wall a crazy background and, you know, do the things that you want to just because you want to, because you know that they are, you know, important for you, important for your life, and important for your business, because life impacts your business and business impacts your life. And a lot of what I do too is asking people like the scariest question in the world, which is, what do you want? People are so afraid to face that question and answer it. And one thing I found with asking that question is I've gotten super comfortable, with a long pause.
Yeah, because the truth is we don't even own our desires as women.
Right.
We don't own them.
Yeah.
We're afraid that someone's going to judge us, that we think that we have what it takes to do that big scary thing. And we believe that in order to do that big scary thing or build that business of our dreams, we're sacrificing our kids or time with our kids. We have so many self-imposed judgments and, you know, false beliefs around having desires and still being other roles in our life that we choose to be. And so I totally get it. What do you want? Deer in headlights. What do you mean? What do I want? Yeah. I'd love to make, you know, this, I had a client the other day, bless her sweet soul. I was like, you know, in a perfect world, how much money would you like to make a month? She was like, well, like 2,000 would be great. And I was like, girl, 2,000 a month.
Right.
That's not real. That's not what you want. You have 10 plus years in your field. That is not what you want. That is safe. That is predictable. You could like be good there, but that is not what you want.
Right.
What you want is financial freedom and time freedom and to be a master of your craft and to be able to be an epic mother, an epic wife, and a badass business owner.
Yes. And I think so much of that too, like that, like speaking of financial freedom, of like having what you want and like owning it and sharing it and saying it and being fine with it. Like an example I have is like one of my coaching clients, she is debt-free and making a lot of money in her job and doing really well in like her side business. And she is so shameful of that, because the way she was brought up was not that same way. It was live every, you know, paycheck to paycheck and barely make it by. And she saw like different decisions that were made that she knew she didn't want to make in her family. But yet here she is like hiding and being stopped by their, again, I'm air quoting, financial freedom. And I asked her, like, is that really financial freedom then? Like, yes, you have the debt-freeness about it, but yet you're still letting it trap you and stop you to step into you even more fully, even more boldly. And so to even, you know, look at those words that we use and really ask, like, am I allowing myself to be financially free? Like, maybe on paper I am.
Yeah. Maybe in my bank account.
Right.
I love that, because that's literally that particular example. I immediately think you went from shame of not having, shame of poverty, shame of struggle, straight on the polarized side to shame of actually having money.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it's so important that we normalize feminine wealth. We normalize that it is not only okay to be a wealthy woman, it is okay to be a financially free woman, to have exceptional wealth, and to talk about it.
Right. And too, I think of too, like to have, like to own our values. Like one person could be like, their value is like debt freedom, and never would they ever consider putting a vacation on a credit card. And then another person, like they put vacations on credit cards because their value is value with time, or with value of like time and being with their family and making memories. And so to like let own our values and let go of that like comparison of what we see other people doing, like almost looking at like, well, they don't value debt freedom. Maybe they don't, but maybe they have other values that are just as important to them as your, you know, debt freedom is to you.
Absolutely. And when we talk about authenticity, that translates into every aspect of our life. How I choose to run my business may be wildly different than you choose to run your business, and neither are wrong.
Right.
Maybe my decision to, you know, be a hustler, which is actually out of integrity with my business values, right? But maybe I love to work, and maybe my work excites me so much that I'm totally cool to be here 10 to 12 hours a day. And then there's another woman who's like, I don't work 2 to 4 hours a week, because that's actual freedom. Your judgment, your projected judgment on me for how I choose to run my business, and my projected judgment on you that you're not doing enough. This is not how we come together as women. This is not how we rise in our feminine power. And
right,
just like you said, our values are authentic to us, our goals are authentic to us, our desires are authentic to us, and we need to remove the judgment, period. At the end of the day, if you're living in your truth, if you're living a life of desire, you are right.
Right. And you're not judging yourself, and therefore there goes judgment on others, because you trust others are doing the same.
Yeah.
They're doing exactly what they need to do what they need to do, because you are doing that as well.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. I love the work that you do. You have incredible energy. Tell my people where they can hang out with you. Where's your favorite social platform?
Yeah. Well, I'm on Instagram quite often. Live Well with Kel. I'm also on Facebook, and I'm ramping up my LinkedIn appearances as well, which is Kelly McEntee. It's just my name. And I also have my Live Well with Kel page on there too.
Awesome. And I will link all of those. And I have yet to join the LinkedIn world. I'm not there yet.
I'm dipping my toes.
If people keep telling me I should be there, but I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll come back and check in with you in a few months and say, hey, how's that LinkedIn thing going?
Yeah, do that. Well, I will be happy to report however it's going.
If you could share with us one limiting belief that you've really done some work around, or one false belief that you've really done some work around, but still comes up for you, how are you now? Well, let me rephrase that. What strategies are you using now to navigate back into alignment more quickly than you would in the past?
Yes. Okay. So the limiting belief, or the shift of what was a limiting belief is that it's okay to want what you want, and you are safe to want big, big, lofty goals, big, scary mm-hmm. things. Like, it's okay to have those wants, because we so badly all want to belong. We want to, you know, not really rock the boat a whole lot. And so a new truth that I've had with that, like being okay with what I want, is knowing, like, sometimes my truth is going to rock the boat, but like, I can handle the waves. I can handle the currents of what come when I say my truth, because like, if you don't say the truth, the boat's just going to rock harder later. And so, like, kind of create the ripple now to be your more true self today, to share what you want, to step into that, to lean, and to trust yourself that you can handle it. Because if you can trust that you can handle the wave, you can handle the desire too.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. Yeah, that's so good. So I will link all of the show notes. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for this beautiful conversation. And I can't wait for us to continue to be in each other's energy.
Yes. Thank you so much too. This was so much fun, and I'm excited to, stay connected with you and everybody listening, and, good things are coming up, that I know for sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kelly. And to our listeners, I hope you love yourself fiercely and fully today and every day. See you on the next episode.